Welcome to the Creatives Experience Podcast, hosted by yours truly, Isaac Whedon. On each episode, I will be speaking with artists and bringing you in on their life, faith, and creative experience. I'm excited for you to be joining us today. Thank you for listening. So without further ado, let's get to it.
Hey guys, thanks so much for joining me on this week's episode of the Creatives Experience Podcast. I have the one and only Joseph the Dreamer with me on today's episode. I'm very stoked about this opportunity and what we're going to talk about. If you are at all interested in filmmaking, utilizing YouTube, any type of visual creative outlets, I believe this will be a huge blessing to you. And even if you're not, I think you'll enjoy it as well. So before we jump into it, all right, Joe, thank you so much for blessing us with your time, bro.
Dude, it's so good to be here. Thanks for having me on.
Absolutely, man. So you, like you mentioned to me earlier, you're currently in roughly somewhere near Brighton in England right now.
Yeah, I mean, I'm actually like in the middle of the countryside. I feel like I should be, I don't know, growing vegetables or maybe getting pet chickens or something. Like,
that's awesome.
I don't know what's happened. I used to be a proper city boy, proper London boy. Absolutely loved it up there, but I am now the proud father of a gorgeous baby girl, and so we've moved out of the city so that we can have a little bit more room.
That's
and
good,
just
man.
Slow down just a little bit. You know what I'm saying?
I love it. And so you are a full-time creative. Am I right?
That is correct. I am full-time freelance. I work for myself. I sort of, actually before that, I was a full-time assistant pastor at a church in London.
No kidding.
So I had all this sort of this background in, I guess, like more ministry stuff and how the church works and seeing it behind the scenes. And then a couple of years ago, I transitioned out of church work into the daunting world of working for yourself as a creative, like managing your own schedule and money and just everything. So yeah, I now make films for a living.
Beautiful. That's beautiful. And so you were actually requested by a handful of people saying, hey man, could you get Joseph on the podcast? And I'm just like, who is this guy? Like I gotta check him out. And man, you make amazing films and videos.
Oh, thanks, bro.
And really though, like there's a quality about what you create that I believe is lacking in, I don't want to say like the Christian content. Like I don't want to categorize us outside of, you know, the world, but it is lacking, you know, and I feel like, I believe there are a select group of people God is not only going to utilize, but is currently utilizing to set the tone for what should be for other content creators and stuff like that, bro. So bravo.
Thank you. Absolutely.
Insert applaud.
I would say that I wasn't a filmmaker first. I was a storyteller first.
That's good.
And so I don't see myself as like a vlogger. I try not to do that much sort of sit down in front of camera type stuff anymore. Cool. I'm all about telling the story. And so that's sort of when you, particularly look at my most recent like videos I've got on my Joseph the Dreamer YouTube channel, like and subscribe, a little plug. that you'll see, there is a story and there is a narrative there. Not just someone, sitting in front of a camera.
And it's so, I would say it's so hard. And I only say this out of my own experience where for someone who, like yourself, feels comfortable speaking, because I mean, you just feel, I feel it and you off you naturally, like you enjoy to speak. Vlogging comes at such an ease, right? Like to just stick a camera in front of yourself and just like start speaking. It's a piece of cake, you know, because not only can you edit it and do all this other stuff, but like in the midst of so many other ways to present something, I would say that's one of the easiest if you are skilled in that arena, right? Mm-hmm. But when it comes to painting a visual picture for people and letting them kind of just like walk into a visual journey rather than just hearing you talk, but like visually you see something, then you're hearing whether it be background, you know, narration. How do you
narration?
It's a completely different thing. So I'm challenged to like consider doing that in the future, because I've dabbled with vlogging and then I kind of just like lost my fire for YouTube, and I'm trying to do too much right now. Like trying to do a podcast, trying to make music, trying to do vlogging, trying to run a construction business. Dude, I'm just like, I can't, like,
that's the creative's life, man. We're such jack of all trades these days.
It's hard, bro.
You got to be able to do it all.
For sure. So I think it's really cool that you've incorporated that aspect into your videos, because like I mentioned, I just haven't seen it, man. So it's super dope. So if you guys have, those of you listening, if you have yet to check out Joe's stuff, do people call you Joe, by the way?
Everyone just calls me Joseph the Dreamer. That's
so American, bro. My bad. Joe.
It has to be Joseph, because then I can get just the full biblical anointing of the Joseph legacy.
Noted, sir. If you guys have yet to check out Joseph's stuff, I will put a link in this episode's description. But truly, take some time, check out what's going on. You just uploaded your most recent one, right? Was about Saint Valentine or Valentine or
marriage. Oh, wow. Wow, I haven't done.
I literally just peeped it right before we got on, and yeah, I'm like, "Ooh, this looks interesting." You're talking about the history of where
Valentine's about the real Saint Valentine. I just I just really felt on my heart God was speaking to me about this guy, and I was sort of blown away about why do we not know the true story of this martyr, this guy who was so just set on fire and just willing to die for his faith. And he only lived like maybe 200-300 years after Christ as well.
Wow.
So it must have just been, just a really fresh, passionate, just crazy time to live in. I think we overlook it as this sort of chocolate roses day.
Yeah, no doubt. Like I don't consider a person other than my significant other on a day like Valentine's Day, you know? But anyway, yeah, guys, check out his videos, because I believe you'll be tremendously blessed. As a expectant father to a current father of a little child, how's that been, bro? My wife is 6 months pregnant right now. I think
congratulations,
glory to the Lord. Thank you, bro. I'm super stoked. How has that been for you? Because I do hope in the future to just do like creative stuff, and but at the same time, I do feel the Lord really leading my wife and I into real estate and like utilizing all these resources we have to, I suppose, bless the kingdom financially also. Because I feel like that's also something people don't talk about. It's like, oh, I believe the Lord's going to use us financially for the kingdom. Like people are like, oh no, money's the root of all evil. You know, it's just like, no, that's not how this goes.
I hear you.
But for somebody who is like full blown into filmmaking, all this stuff, how has it been for you, for those listening that have yet to have a child or have yet to be married or hope to have to aspire to live these things out, and then also hope to be creative at the same time? Like, what does that look like for you?
Well, it looks like when baby is born, suddenly the concept of time just changes and you value like every minute. And every minute seems to, you know, you want to be able to schedule it so that, you know, you're so present when you're home, but you're also working so hard when you are at work. And so I think, my whole life did change when my little girl was born.
It's true. People aren't lying.
Yeah. But I mean, a lot of people came with all this stuff like, oh, it's going to be crazy. You're not going to get any sleep. And actually a bit too much negativity for my liking. But yeah, I would definitely recommend if there's something you want to do, like I would establish it pre-baby. I think it would be, looking back, I think it would be harder to start something whilst you've also got a baby at home. I don't think you want to be, you know, juggling that sort of, you know, high pressure environments at the same time.
For sure.
Where you want to be doing both, you know, 24/7. Because really, if it was up to me, I'd just be, you know, at home snuggling my baby all the time. I don't want to be building something huge. Like, I'd rather be maintaining something that I've already started and already got a little bit of momentum, that sort of thing.
That makes sense, man. That makes sense. Yeah.
So I would suggest to you.
Yes, sir. Like, listening. Ears open.
Just get that ball rolling, like make sure, you know, you're already just sort of, you feel like you're running rather than trying to, you know, pick up the pace when you want to be present at home. You want to be looking after your baby and your wife. Yeah,
that's good. You know, I It's crazy. I guess I suppose I haven't heard that from anyone yet, which is great advice. Thank you, by the way.
Oh.
I haven't heard that specifically from anyone, but I do believe the Lord has led me to do that somehow, nice. You know, yeah. Where this whole last year or two has just been literally just building and building and building and building and building. And now at a point where it's just like, I just need a few hours here and there. And it's, you know, like even with recording a podcast or making music, I'm working on my third album for the beat tape. To have an album every like 3 months, bro, has been truly grueling. I'm just like, gosh, why did I agree to this?
Wow, savage.
but I'm looking forward to it being over just to kind of, it's not stressful, but it's just like you're expected to like flow creativity nonstop, you know? And
yeah. Well, something else that me and my wife have been up to is actually establishing a little drinks business. So in America, you guys have kombucha, right?
Yeah, we got kombucha.
So kombucha is only really starting to find its place in the UK over the last sort of year or two. And so 2 or 3 years ago, we started this little kombucha company, which has just begun to gain some great momentum. That's right.
I did see a few photos or something on your page on Instagram. I'm like,
oh, yeah, probably on the ground. That's cool, man.
Wow. So you guys have been doing that in the midst of...
Well, so what happened was, you know, we did sort of kind of get it off the ground, but when baby was born, there must have been like 6 months where we barely even touched it.
Okay,
you know, there was a real sort of thankfully we're doing it with friends, and so they did step up, and now they've had a baby, so you know, we're sort of stepping up a little bit more. But yeah, that's Hollis kombucha, and yeah, this sort of the long-term goal is to actually employ girls who have survived human trafficking. So that's sort of why it began. And that's a little side project we're working on at the moment.
That's great. I love it, dude. I love when like God's blessed us with so many opportunities, especially today. Like literally no excuse, bro. Like you can do anything today, you know, especially because of the internet. And even to like start a kombucha business, like I wouldn't think of it, you know, but you're like, yo, this would be dope. It's crazy, bro. And like the amount of just to be able to do multifaceted things all at the same time, like, you know, not only are you able to run a kombucha business, but you could also create all the content for it because you already create content. And it's like, it's just utilizing all these other strengths that you have and then bringing people in to build something new. When quite often I feel like a lot of people try to do all these things by themselves. So I'm encouraged to hear that even in your business, you and your wife are dually doing something together. That's super, super cool, man.
I mean, to be honest, she's the one that started it and got the name going and everything. I was the tag along at one point, and now I'm so deep.
Wow, that's amazing, man. Praise God. I want to ask you, so you mentioned that you were a pastor at some, or youth pastor, or you were in a church, or
kind of like a pastor assistant role.
You got it. Okay, cool.
Yeah.
So what did that, how did that affect you, you know, growing up, or how many years were you doing that before you moved out into middle of nowhere?
So I did that for 2 years. There is a long sort of story
behind this.
But when I met my now wife, we got married, and rather than sort of, you know, trying to settle down and maybe begin a career or that sort of thing, we decided actually we're going to go on like a wild Holy Spirit led adventure.
Cool.
And we got married, and literally like the day after we were like, okay, what do you want from us, Lord? Wow. Like, we are 100% available to you. And he told us about a month in, he said, go to America. And we sort of went to visit charities and churches around the US and Mexico that really just inspired us. And I guess we were, you know, sort of documenting that journey for the people back home so they could see what we were up to. And yeah, we visited some amazing places, and God just moved powerfully, and we were changed forever. And it was sort of off the back of that a pastor that I did know in London was like, you guys like are crazy. I really, really need some help. How can I get to come and like help me out, you know?
Praise God.
And so yeah, we came back to London to do
Glory to God, dude. So you've been, were you raised as a Christian, or did you come to Christ later on?
Dude, my mom is so Christian. Like, I'm pretty sure she wanted me to be a worship leader. Like, but I cannot play the guitar or a piano, or I cannot sing. Like, thankfully my sister is a worship leader. So
look at that.
It was a close one.
Pressure off.
Wow. Yeah. And my dad, is a pastor of a church.
You're a PK also, bro?
Dude.
So yeah. Both PKs? That's crazy.
Oh, really? But yeah, I wouldn't say that I took any particular huge steps in my walk until I had left home.
Oh, same.
Maybe I'd taken it for granted, or I saw it more as like a community thing.
Word.
But it wasn't until I guess I'd experienced the real world, call it that, that I was like, whoa, I need Jesus.
For real. For real. That's beautiful, man. Wow. And so as a person who, as I mentioned before, I believe is going to help pave the way for creatives to like really create with excellence, what have you been seeing currently in, I don't want to say the Christian industry, just in like the realm of Christianity and the church and stuff like that?
Wow.
Where's your heart at with, you know, because I'll say this, I genuinely believe we're on the very brink of Christ coming back. Like, I mean, it's so evident. It's crazy. So I believe we're in end times. Maybe you disagree. But
I made a video about that.
Cool. Awesome. I got to check it out. Yeah. Like, where's your heart at for the church, and how do we go about, you know, sharing the gospel as a creative? Cause hence probably the most majority of who's listening is a creative. How do we go about that, utilizing these tools and maybe something that we're lacking?
No, it's a great question. I was at a university maybe like 2 days ago, and they were asking a similar question. And what I said to them was, I believe that literally in the last like 6 months, particularly the UK church, I don't know, the US might be a few, you know, they're usually a few months ahead on everything.
Somehow.
in the last sort of 6 months, there's been this awakening to media and comms and the arts and the creative industry and how much the church needs it.
Word.
And so, you find a lot more that churches are now like, oh, wow, we need someone who knows what they're doing in terms of social media, who knows what they're doing in terms of website, who wants to communicate through video, through music, through song, that we can get out there, because the internet has, you know, many sort of maybe not so helpful things. But one of the things it does is it connects us like to such a huge audience, right? And last year I was looking for, you know, creative conferences or other creatives to try and connect with. And I found it really difficult, but already we're like, two, almost 3 months into 2020, and more stuff has happened in the last 2 months than in my last sort of 3 years as a Christian creative, in terms of the church being like, oh, we need help. Like, show us what to do. How can we communicate better and more artistically?
Word. That's beautiful, man.
Time is now.
Amen. Absolutely. It's like, as if it's like coming out of sleep. You know, it's like, it's been neglecting this thing. I believe the church has known that this is something that's needed, but just somehow neglected it, you know, like, and I believe also the way we go about church, quote unquote, I've been blessed with a home church. So I'm a part of a community of believers, and we gather in homes, you know, and the Lord took me out of church setting, like your regular type Sunday morning type of, you know, Wednesday small group type stuff, and like kind of took us out just to help us see what's going on from an outside perspective. Because when you're inside, like, you're so kind of like consumed with everything, like this like church mentality, that it's hard to not see it that way, you know. And when you step out, it's kind of like, man, are we being most effective? Are we truly being obedient to the word of God when it comes to how we go about sharing the gospel, how we go about actually living a life for Christ? And I'm seeing that if we don't utilize every tool, such as the internet, And I mean, I feel like everything else has been used quite well, you know, whether it be speaking, face to face, having meetings with people, getting together one-on-ones, doing all like real life physical interaction. It's beautiful, you know, but when you look at the data and how many hours people spend on their phones or they spend on the internet, I mean, it's an unbelievable difference, you know? Mm. And so for us to be at a point now where churches are like, yo, we need to get in front of people's faces also, because the devil isn't, he's not chilling on that part. He's working overtime. And if the devil's working overtime in that aspect, we certainly give him dominion over that, right? And then we parents
not,
give their,
not me, bro. Not me.
Amen. Amen. And like, I'm not saying that is what's that there's no one fighting, right? We are fighting this war, but I believe there's just been, as you mentioned recently, just earlier, that we've like realized that this is a need. If we're neglecting this aspect, we're not letting Christ shine in this area, therefore giving total authority to Satan.
Yeah, well, there's 2 billion people on YouTube, right? There's almost 2 billion people on Instagram, and it's up to us to decide, as Christians, we've got 2 options, right? Do we, everybody, we've decided we're all going to leave social media, all 2 billion people, we're coming together and say, boycott.
Social media is of the devil.
I'm not sure that's going to happen.
I don't think so.
Option 2, which I think is the option, it's the option that I wanted to take anyway. It's okay, that's a mission field. Mm-hmm. Like, there are 2 billion people going on YouTube because they are looking for something. Mm-hmm. They're looking that's to good. Connect. And I mean, they're looking for something, and am I going to give them it? Am I going to give what they're looking for, which I think is Jesus. Really, amen. It's that connection. It's everything they've been looking for.
Amen.
So hallelujah. That's what I'm up to.
And it's like, instead of trying to instead of trying to get people into a building, just meeting them where they're at, you know, and you look at the book of Acts, you look at, you know, the New Testament and how they went about ministry. I mean, like on the street, reading scripture out loud, go into the temple yards, go into all these, like they will go to the lost, not be like, hey, come here if you want to learn about it. Like, no, let's go reach them where they're at, because that will be most effective. Right. Yeah. And essentially, if we look at social media and the internet as a field of lost people, of lost souls, and you look at it that way, you're like, man, there's so much fruit that can be harvested here if we just go out. Mm. So I'm very encouraged to think about it that way, bro.
Yeah. Well, a preach on Sunday might be, say, 40 minutes long, give or take, right? That's 40 minutes in the space of 1 week. Mm. And I know that every time someone opens the YouTube app, the average sort of view duration is 45 minutes. Mm. And they could be doing that once, maybe twice, maybe even 3 times a day.
Word.
So how much more time are people in our church spending on YouTube than they are listening to their own pastor?
These
people on YouTube, they're in their faces every day, 3 times a day, giving their own sort of sermons about what they're thinking and feeling. Like, we need to be in that space too. We need to be influencing people as well. This word influencer, you know, it's a little bit of like a touchy subject, but surely if we're not being influencers, then we're just being influenced.
For real.
Right? On our Instagram and on our YouTube, when stuff's coming at us, what are we doing? Are we just being influenced by it? Or are we, yeah, like you say, you know, we're in the battle, we're in the war. Are we turning around and be like, no, I'm here to influence them.
That's right.
Right? Whether that's 200
because whether people, whether you want admit it or not, influence is taking place.
You know?
Impressions are being made.
Yeah.
It's no joke. Oh, it's so exciting, man. Like, I don't know if people get stoked about this, but it's just so exciting to consider all these things that are happening. And I'm just like, wow, Lord, what an honor to be a part of this. You know, what a privilege it is to like live in this time right now and be able to like create stuff. Like, I make music in my basement studio. You were in the middle of nowhere in England. You know, it's just like, but reaching thousands of people. You know what I'm saying? Like, this podcast, I have people hitting me up all over the world. the world, bro. I'm just like, are you kidding me? Like,
nice.
Glory to God. You know, like, it's not about me. Like, oh man, praise God, people are listening to me. Like, no, the Lord gets to be glorified all over the world through conversation, through videos, through music, through whatever, however you create, through drawings, through, like, there's so many facets to this. And if we continue to do what we're doing, man, I believe when Jesus was, when Jesus had mentioned, you'll do greater works than I, people sometimes just get caught up just strictly on the miracles and be like, you mean we're going to do greater things and like raise people from the dead and heal the blind and the deaf will hear and the mute will speak. Those are amazing things. I'm not taking away from that. But the fact that we can reach millions of people with an press of a button, I mean, that's like a miracle, bro. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's
it's crazy.
That's almost supernatural. And it's just like the spiritual aspect of that is huge. You can meet people in their home without having to be with them. It's amazing, you know? So it just pumps me up so much to be like, wow, when I create, I'm not just creating and then I have to, like, back in the day, now I got to go find a way to go play a show and that's the only way people are going to hear my music. Now it's just like, yo, I'm just going to create and spend time with the Lord, help me create, help me write lyrics, help me write songs, all this stuff, and then just put it out there and hopefully people are blessed. You know, same with the podcast. You're like, hey, why should people listen to this? You know, like, for real, like, what? Who am I to tell people, hey, you should listen to what I'm talking about with someone? I don't want to say that, right? But if somebody finds value in something and then they pass it on to another, then they pass it on to another, and you continue to glorify the Lord in every single thing that you're doing, He will bless it.
Mm-hmm.
That's what's so cool. Like, you don't need this worldly marketing plan for things that you're doing for the kingdom. Can you utilize a plan? Yeah. Can you utilize all these other perspectives and strategies on how to build what you're doing to glorify God? Yes, you can. But ultimately, the Lord will sustain it. He will water it or grow it to become what He knows it should be. Because I feel like often, like, how many, let's say 3 years ago, could you imagine you doing what you're doing?
I mean, I could imagine it, but I wasn't doing it.
Okay, yeah. So it's like, the Lord will impress something or press something on your heart to pursue, right? And you're just like, yeah, bro. I mean, it would be great to live off of this. It would be great to do this full time. I would love to do that. But to actually do that is a whole nother story.
Yeah.
You know?
YouTube is, I was reflecting on this the other day. Like what you say, like, you don't know who's watching. Like, you don't know who's listening right now. So hi, everyone around the world. my testimony and my YouTube journey so my testimony did start from YouTube, and now you know, five years or so, whatever, later, I'm on YouTube and I'm doing what changed my life 5 years prior. So, for example, when before I even knew film was on the radar and I was a dancer, it was
a dancer.
I was when I'm like 18, 19 years old and I'm not sure what to do with my life.
No kidding.
I found a YouTube video of dancers in the Philippines who were so good.
I bet.
And so I went, instead, when everyone went off to uni, college, whatever, I went to go and find them and train with them.
That's
in the Philippines.
Wild, bro.
And it was while I was there that I met a film director, Christian missionary guy. And sort of the first seeds were sown, and I was like, oh my days, like, God is here as well. And like, he's trying to get me right now. And then like a year after that, it was another YouTube video. I was basically in my friend's dorm room at uni, and he was like, I just really want to show you this YouTube clip. He was a Christian guy. He showed me it, and like the preacher's words just like cut straight through my heart, and I'm just like weeping, you know? And it was then that I gave my life to Jesus. So it was huge. It was, I can just remember these two specific YouTube videos basically changed my life and set me on, and ended up in some way setting me on fire for the Lord. And now here I am. It's, you know what, your testimony sometimes reveals your destiny, right? And that's so true with me. Like, I didn't know back then, like, what I was doing and why, but now I'm like, whoa, that is crazy. How like that's, that I could be, there could be another 19, 18 year old kid, I don't know, who watches my YouTube videos and sees, you know, who sees their identity and sees God's identity just totally different from watching it, and is changed, and maybe gives their life to Jesus or is set on fire for something. That's what gets me pumped, you know?
Amen, amen.
And I could never even meet them.
Yeah, seriously.
I get messages as like, oh, hi from Pakistan and stuff like this. I'm like, that's crazy. Like, what are they doing watching my video?
Wow. Glory to God, man. For people who like, really hope to do what you're doing, what would be just some encouragement or just like realistic advice, you know, hey, this would be a wise way to go about it. I do appreciate you mentioning about like, hey, if you're gonna have a kid, like build a foundation first, like kind of hit the ground running so that when it comes, you're not like trying to learn how to do so. Like, don't be like, I want to be a music producer, and then you have a baby and you start trying to learn. Like, if you're trying to do something, learn it first, and then, because otherwise you'll feel yourself.
I mean, it's not impossible, but I'm just
saying that it'll be harder.
I'd rather be with my family at that time than trying to start something up.
Absolutely.
But let's say, yeah, there are some young people listening to this and like, you know what? Like, video sounds great. YouTube sounds great. The probably the first big question people are asking is like, but I've got nothing. I've got no camera or, you know, anything like that. Firstly, what I would say is, and this is like my favorite quote of all time, I always say it, is if what you have in your hand is not what you need, then it can't be the harvest, it must be the seed, right?
Wow.
And I know that in their hands right now is a mobile phone. So that's a great place to start.
Word.
And you can, what you can do is you can start up and practice your camera skills, practice your speaking skills, and get that sort of content and your tone of voice and the message that you want to say. You can get that down first, because to be honest, even if you have all the gear, like, no one's going to care what you've got to say.
Straight up.
unless you say it passionately, confidently, if you want to do it yourself, people can see it and hear it in your voice, right? And how animated you are. So learn what it is that you want to say before you start upgrading, you know, all the kit and stuff, because you might find, wait, I'm not cut out for this anyway. So you've just saved me $500 or whatever. But after you sort of, if you've still got that fire, doing it with what's in your hand, and you know, you can feel maybe some favor, and you know, to the faithful, he shows himself faithful, right? I think the first thing you might need is to, you know, maybe find like a sweet microphone or something, because I think sound is so important in video.
Absolutely.
And is often very much overlooked. I think people will switch off based on sound before they switch off based on
I gotta check the stats on that, but that sounds quite accurate, man. That sounds quite accurate. Because nowadays we have some great headphones or great speakers, you know, and if you're like watching something and you're just like, that's kind of trash.
Yeah.
Even if it looks like dope, you know.
Windy like, and stuff, and like, yeah.
That's good. So for like, I suppose, so I did this with music, and I don't regret it, but I wouldn't suggest going about it this way. And you can do the same with videos. When you start, would you bother to like release it to the public, your very first creations, or would you just sit on them till you get to a point that you're satisfied?
Dude, 100%, you have to get something out.
Cool.
Like, because you will learn. So I see a lot of musicians who want, you know, video to support them as well. And they're just like sitting on ideas and years go by and there's like, well, are you even a musician? Because I can't see and I haven't heard anything or seen anything. Are you just talking? And I would say, get something out. You will learn. So you'll learn how people respond. You'll learn what other people are like. You'll learn.
Yeah, that is good. Okay.
And there's something so faithful about putting your music out there, because I think I don't know if God sees it like this, but say you put out, but this is my best track, and you know, this is like my little baby. It's so precious to me. You know, it's like, so are you saying that that's the best work you're ever going to do? Are you saying there's not more? Are you saying you're not going to learn anything else and not grow anymore?
That's good.
Like, you've got to allow yourself to progress. You're just holding on to your little seed. Like, it's not even in the ground yet. Right. Let's see what happens. Let's learn from it. And Yeah, 100%. This is your sign. If you're listening to this right now, this is the sign. Just get it out there and let's see it. Let's hear it. Come on.
That's good, man. You know, I'm glad you said that. And I suppose the reason I see, for example, and I'm just speaking personally about what I first created in the beginning, like almost 4 years ago to where I'm at now. I like listen to stuff and I cringe, bro. And I'm just like, gosh, I thought this was good. Like,
I know.
But something that I took away, I forget who I was talking with, but they just really pressed this on my heart was, dude, just show people that you're serious. First of all, like if you're going to be creating and you're like, hey, I want to be doing this, show it. Like, don't be like, yeah, I'm going to be a producer. Or you're going to put in your Instagram bio, like, oh, beat maker, da da da, but you don't drop nothing. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, exactly.
And as I started creating, then the feedback started coming back. And then, you know, people who were with you at the beginning then see you now and they're like, bro, you've improved so much. Like, I have a few people that I just send my beats to just to kind of like get some feedback from. And some of them, they've been there for a while. And I'll send it to them and they're like, dude, this is awesome. Like, I'm not talking smack, but some of those beats before were trash compared to this, you know? Like, but thank you, you know, like honest opinion, honest feedback. Like, we need
that. Oh, yeah. You know? Looking back at some of my old videos, I'm like, wow, this is boring, like,
yeah. but when people can see, and this is for those who I think this only pertains to those who hope to do it, is like when they go to someone's page and they're like, wow, this stuff is so good, and they could like scroll back to the beginning and they're like, wow, this wasn't so good, and then it's like, wow, but they kept going and look where they're at now, you know? And I think that's something that's so valuable for people who hope or aspire to do something creatively and they are just like, but it's just not that good right now. It's just like, it's not going to be that good. Just take that in. Like, it's
the first one will be bad. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I think also in the early days, you take those numbers like so personally when you're like, oh, that got 5 listens and that one got 20 listens. Oh, wow. Like, you know, and you just sort of overthink it so much. I think in the early days, it's like, okay, no, my goals aren't my numbers right now. My goals are just getting stuff out there and just like getting some consistency and be like, oh no, like I'm going to, you know, put out a song every month or a video every month for now, just so I can start to like build something. And you don't have to advertise it, but just get it up there, get it out and just, you know, see what's happening. And then you also learn all the behind the scenes stuff. How much work is this going to take you? You don't even know, right? Yeah, I guess so.
I mean, if it's YouTubing and stuff, like there's so much behind the scenes stuff. Like, it's not just like, I'm just going to upload something. You know, it's like, do you know how to edit? Do you know what programs you need?
Okay, crazy.
Do you know about copyright? Do you know about the laws? Do you know about, it's just like, it is a lot, you know?
I have one video, no joke. It took me 2 years to make.
No.
Yeah.
Is it good?
Yeah. It's not bad. It's not bad. But
okay, yeah.
It was a sort of a passion project of mine. It's a short film that I made. Cool. I only dropped it like a few months back. It's called It Shakes the Wilderness. And it was a short film that I wrote, directed, produced, edited, like everything.
Was it one of your first short films?
It was probably the... short answer to that is no, but the long answer is, in terms of like the scale and the input, like this was me stepping up, you know, like I shot it in Spain. Like I flew a couple of guys out.
You're kidding.
And we shot it like, and I, scripted everything. It must've been like a few days shoot, you know, editing took months, getting the sound took even more months. And I was like, oh my days, but I wanted it to be my first ever like cinema quality short film. Cool. That was the difference. Like we shot it on, you know, cinema camera with, you know, the sound was just like, it needed to be sick. Like it needed to be shown on the big screen. And I learned a lot and it's up there. It like, it's kind of really random, but it's also like, wow, I learned so much. And you're not going to know until you do it, how much you're going to learn and how much better the next thing is going to be. And on the note of sort of how much time that took. And I think if you're a new creator, if you're starting a new project, if there's something new on your heart, I would say right now, in that first sort of launching phase is you need to remove as many obstacles as possible. And that might mean removing as many other people as possible as well. Because if you're trying to bring in this like massive project with 10 people and you don't have one piece of work out yet, like I would much rather, so I had to, you know, I had to learn to edit. I had to learn how to use a camera. That's not my passion to do either of those two things. My passion is to tell the story. I got to learn that stuff, put in the hours, and do as much as I can on my own so that I remove the excuses. And that's I think that really helped me in the early days as well. I wanted to be like, oh, you know, I want to film that person and, you know, interview that person. And I got these huge ideas. It's like, you're already creating more time than you have. How are you going to even schedule that? I don't know.
That's
and then
good, man.
Something goes wrong, then wow, you're behind schedule again. Like, what can you do in your house with your phone? Like, that is the secret. And just like I said, yeah, it's what you have in your hand. Like, it's what has God given you right now today that you can start with and then start.
Good. That's good. How did your name come up? The Dreamer, Joseph the Dreamer.
Dude, so...
Is there a story behind that?
Yeah, there is. I mean, I needed something. My surname is actually like really long and not very memorable at all. And
few Americans, a surname is your last
name. Yeah. Exactly.
I'm like, surname. I know what that is.
Oh, yeah. My last name is, yeah. And a lot of other people with my last name are actually in Trinidad. So it's like totally different.
No kidding.
That's okay. Where my granddad's from.
Wow.
And so, yeah, I wanted something that was my name, but also if you are a Christian, you're going to be like, oh, hang on, I'm going to click on that. You know, that's sort of what I was looking for. But not to like, not Joseph, the pastor, missionary, glory, like nothing too out there. Just something that, you know, was sort of, I guess, had a little bit of mystery to it and intrigue. And actually I relate to the Bible characters Joseph like so much, and it has been prophesied over me, you know, the relation. And when I was set on fire for God and gave my life to him at uni, I had like a string of prophetic dreams that like came true. And so dreaming and prophetic dreams and God speaking to me in the night, just like he does with the Josephs in the Bible, I was like relating to so much. And it was like such an awesome time. And actually, yeah, I recently dropped a video about heaven and the dream that I had had of heaven. I did a little animation for it as well.
I saw that one.
I spent too long making that. Oh, my days. That's not a good example of making things fluid and easy for you.
Crazy. But
I couldn't find any other way of showing it because it's not like I can shoot a big feature film.
Oh, yeah. Like, I'm going to shoot the heaven.
Yeah. Like, what? I was like, wow. This doesn't even exist. So I just did some like rough sketches and stuff like that.
That's awesome.
Help illustrate. So yeah, dreams played a big part in my testimony. So it was quite natural.
You have dreams. You're truly a dreamer.
Yeah, exactly. Joseph the Dreamer.
Not all for show. It's actually real.
But it also relates to my calling is to just raise up a people with purpose, you know. That's my testimony too, is going from a place where I wasn't sure what I wanted to do to knowing that my calling is to glorify God and live for him with so much purpose.
Amen.
And so dreams, not only at night dreams, but also, you know, dreams and ambitions and that sort of side of things. I love discipleship, and I'm quite pastoral. I love chatting to people about, you know, that's the first question I love asking people when I meet them is, so what's the dream? Like, it opens up so much, spiritual or non-spiritual, like no matter who you meet. Like, I'd recommend doing that if you're like stuck in the small talk place. Like, just weave it in there. Oh, okay, so, you know, I see you play music. Okay, so what's the dream? What's the big dream? Try it. Oh,
it's a great question, man. And the one of the best ways, if not the best way, to start growing relationship with someone is to have them talk about themselves.
Yes,
you know,
exactly.
It's just like, just listen. Like, that's a great point for those
but you know what, on a deeper level talk, than that, if someone replies by saying, do you know what, I don't even know, then you've already got a whole another conversation open. Actually, yeah, you want to tap into that and be like, well, you know, something's going on here then. If they, you know, I can't remember what it's called, but there's like a hierarchy of needs that every person has. And at the bottom, you know, is like food. Yeah, and then it sort of goes up, and the top one is dreams, you know? So if you're not sort of peaking at being able to dream, then something's sort of going wrong down the line there. Those are things like we need to address before we feel like we can fully dream. So I find it a great way to, yeah, just love and care and meet new people. Yeah.
Amen. Wow. Praise God. What does your wife do other than the kombucha and being a mother? Is that not to knock any of those things, being a mother of full-time gig for sure.
Yeah. So those are the main things she does at the moment.
Okay. Awesome.
She looks after our baby girl. And also, yeah, she does some work on our drinks, drinks project at the moment.
Awesome.
We've recently moved into an official facility. So we've got a little business unit.
Big production.
We're going to build a little sort of custom makeshift production line. Product. So yeah, it's like all going ahead. It's quite a big year for us. This is, you know, this is the make or break year. Like it could be huge or it could be like, wow, okay. Like it's too huge.
lesson learned. Yeah. Wow. Praise God, man. So when you go about, like, how do you choose what you hope to create? Like, obviously you create as a service, like you're a videographer and filmmaker and stuff for people. So you also do quote people for projects and stuff like that. When it comes to, I guess two questions. First question, are you open with working with anyone, or you're like, they have to be Christian or they have to be like, this is what I'm looking for? How do you go about choosing your clients?
Yeah, so this last year I've really tried to basically work with less Christians, basically. Wow. I used to, do like 100%, you know, church, charity, that sort of thing. And I found a couple of problems. One of them was like, I felt like I wasn't being as much, you know, salt and light as I wanted to. Like I was in a bit of a Christian bubble because Christians needed a lot of help with their film and it was easy to find work. Those were the circles I was in, you know? And I was like, I've got something to give here. Like, I don't want to be sort of trapped in here. I'm not sure it's right. And I have begun to sort of transition I'm almost there. I'm sort of aiming for like a 50-50, you know, where I'm working with Christian projects and I'm working with non-Christian projects.
Cool.
And so, yeah, that has actually made me feel really free to sort of go at the two at 100 miles an hour. So the Joseph the Dreamer, I guess, brand, if you want to call it that, can be where all my Christian work comes under. And I work for a lot of other events and organizations, you know, doing their promos, filming their teaching, that sort of thing.
Cool.
And then the other side of things, it's called 3-4 Films. It's just a name that I work under. And that is more of my sort of professional and non-Christian stuff. I don't feel like I've got to weave any of me into that. I'm just trying to earn money for my family, you know, pay my rent on time, that sort of thing.
That's good.
Yeah.
My other question would be, how do you go about choosing topics for your content creation, for your YouTube?
It's a great question because I work with other like YouTube clients. I manage other channels as part of my work and what I do. And yeah, some of these guys, they'll literally shoot like 10 videos in a day, send me like all the footage, and I will manage the channel for the whole rest of the month and they would need to touch it, right?
Wow.
With my channel, like I can't do that because I take all my inspiration for what God is doing in me over that sort of week or couple of weeks, you know, and it's all led by Him. Like I don't pre-plan what I do at all. I just feel like what is God doing this month? Like what sort of things is He saying to me? And I just say what He's saying to me.
That's good.
No, I'm never asking like, what do you want to say to my audience, Lord? Speak to them. I'm like, you know what? This is on my heart right now. Therefore, that's what I'm going to share. So I do.
And it creates like authentic footage, you know, it's an authentic experience, not only for you, but also for those who are viewing.
I can't do it. I can't do the pre-planned thing. Like I've tried and it didn't work. And I do have yeah, my next video script already done that I'm going to hopefully do this week.
Okay.
And I think I might have maybe like a title or two lined up. But that's it. I won't go any further than that. There is absolutely no way that I could shoot, you know, a more than one video in the space of, a week maybe. I'd feel so forced, and I don't think I'd be speaking the truth. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So for you guys listening, really consider that, you know, if you were like, oh, I want to make stuff. I need to put stuff out there. Something I learned recently on my last music album was like, am I making this with the Lord? You know, am I like consciously like, God, I want to make with you. I want to create with you. Cause that is his desire. You know, his desire is to do everything with us and to lead us and to inspire and give what he knows people need. And I would say that would be the wisest way to go about things, you know?
Yeah.
Joseph, it has been truly a pleasure to have you join me on the podcast, man. I believe this is huge, especially for people who hope to pursue this. Cause I know there are a lot. I know there are a lot of people who are like, oh man, I would love to do this. But have been stalling.
Oh man.
So if you've been stalling, come on guys.
Come on. These creators. Oh, jeez.
So at the end of every episode, I hope for the guest to just pray and bless the listeners. Would you be opposed to doing that?
Oh man, let's do it.
Would you do the honor? Awesome, bro. Go ahead.
Yeah. Thank you, Father, that the time is now.
Amen.
Thank you, Father, that we were called to such a time as this, and that no longer is there any time to waste. And that even though you are the author of time, and even though you are not in the rush, and even though there's no reason why we should be like, oh my days, I should have been doing so much work. No, Lord, like right now you are saying the time is now. Like, let's do it. Partner with me. Let's step forward. Let's go forward. Let's make things happen. Let's create together. And I thank you, Father, that you are the great creator. And the first thing ever documented in your word is the creativity of the Lord. And so, Father, I pray you will just pour out a fresh peace and a fresh creativity amongst everyone that's just listening to this podcast right now, and they will feel so just released to create right now.
Yes, God.
And so passionate about what they are creating in this season right now, and bless their hands. May they show themselves just so faithful with what you have given them. Thank you, Jesus.
Yes, Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. Let me just bless you real quick. Father, I thank you so much for Joseph and his family, Lord. I'm so excited for what you have in store for them. I just lift up his marriage, God. I lift up their parenting of their little one. I just ask you continue to lead them in the exact way that you wish for their lives to be lived. Continue to inspire them. Continue to open up doors of opportunity for them to not only glorify your name, but also set a standard for what we are expected to do even in the world, to be able to challenge excellence, to be able to challenge the status quo, to challenge new standards of creativity, as well as running businesses and just being an example to the world also what it is to run a business with you, because it is a very real thing. Continue to bless them, Father, protect them. And I just thank you so much for their lives. And I say that in Jesus' almighty name. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Joseph. I appreciate your time, bro.
So good. Thank you. Absolutely loved it.
All right. Until next time.
Peace.